You're listening to the Ideal Business Show with Pat Rigsby. This is the place where fitness entrepreneurs come to learn how to earn more income, have more impact, and enjoy more freedom. Now, here's your host, Pat Rigsby.
Hey everyone, Pat Rigsby here with another episode of the Ideal Business Show. And today my special guest is my good friend, Pat Beef. Pat is the founder and owner of Athletes Acceleration, basically a publishing company or an education company, if you will, that helps coaches better serve their athletes. You know, it really has been kind of the parent company to the most popular speed products, courses, and certifications within the entire fitness and sports performance industry. But Pat does a whole lot of things beyond that, from helping other people, you know, run their businesses, run their launches, to really being an influencer in the industry, to the point that he and I actually co-moderate or co-mentor a mastermind group for fitness entrepreneurs together. So, you know, we'll get Pat to share a little bit more about his story as we go through. We'll get things rolling. So welcome, Pat.
Thank you. I'm not really sure how you got me to do this. I turn podcasts down on requests all the time because it's not really my thing, but you know, I'm hoping I can provide some value today.
Well, basically, I'm sure I got you to do this just because I talk to you so often that I was going to record it without you knowing, if not, so this works out perfectly. At least you have warning. So let's go ahead and start with maybe how you got into doing what you do. I mean, you know, I know your backstory pretty well after, you know, us doing a lot of projects in a collaborative manner, but, you know, how did you get into the stuff that you do online? Where did that all begin?
Cool. Yeah, I'll back up just a little bit, kind of how I got into, I guess, strength and conditioning, and then get, you know, more specific how it kind of transitioned and pivoted a little bit. But I went to UMass Amherst. I was a sprinter there and was in the School of Management. And once we started getting more, I guess, specific with our courses, I had to take a general class in exercise science. Found out that I loved exercise science. I could see how it would help me just as an athlete. So, and I couldn't see myself working in a cubicle all day. So I made that transition there. Still didn't know what I wanted to do because I didn't want to go the research route. And, you know, working with the general population never really excited me that much as a personal trainer. I went to a conference just to get credit for it for a class. And I saw Mark Verstegen speak, and that just changed everything. So I talked to him after, like, it was amazing. If you ever see him present, I know he does a lot less now that Exosis has taken off and is huge, but he was amazing. Changed, like, figure out that's exactly what I want to do. Talked to him after. He was great. Like, gave me his card number. We exchanged emails, and he said, you know, since you're in Massachusetts, you really need to check out this guy named Mike Boyle. Didn't know anything about Mike at the time. So when I graduated, I started working just as a personal trainer in Boston and interned for Mike for a little bit and was coaching throughout. So it's kind of how I got into strength and conditioning. And then as I started my own business, so I stopped working for Mike because I could only last so long working for free as an intern. Started working with more clients and ran a lot of camps and still coached track and field at the time. And it got to the point where I couldn't see any more clients because I was just too full. And I was running, you know, a lot of camps and, you know, they were going great. And just as a track coach, became known as, you know, kind of like the speed guy in the area. So more people were coming to us. Coaches were coming and also athletes around. So my friend and partner at the time, we decided just to film something. Say, all right, we'll put together kind of our system on what we're doing to make our athletes faster because there was, you know, area demand for it, I guess. But it was more just like, we can't work with more people, so we'll give them the product. we were giving away for free just to the coaches that we knew. And that was kind of the goal. It wasn't until we went to a conference just on business and marketing. You might remember Corey Rudel back in the day. And it kind of opened our eyes to what you can do online. There's a guy that there, he was 17, and was making, I think, over $100,000 a year selling, you know, how to play the piano by ear. You probably remember Jermaine Griggs, too, who's kind of huge in the marketing space now. But there's a 17-year-old guy who was presenting at Corey Rudel's conference, just like, you know, how he's marketing online, how he got it out there. So we figured, you know, this product we're putting together, like, we're just going to sell thousands of them because everyone wants speed training advice. And, you know, what we're doing works. You know, we're getting great results. And people in our area already, you know, wanted more information from us. So we finished filming the product probably September 2004. And so we created this product, Complete Speed Training, version volume one. We put it together. The problem is that we did everything ourselves. We filmed it. We had to learn how to edit it, how to, you know, we did voiceovers and we had to burn the product, create it, put the manual, print out the manual, figure out how to set up a website, how to create a website. It took a long time. We were hoping to be done like right after we filmed it. So we'll launch that in September and we'll sell thousands of copies by Christmas. Didn't really happen that way. So we launched the product January 1st, 2005. So it took us that long just to figure everything out, set everything up, and we were ready to go. At that time, just because I knew we were going to be so successful, I pretty much quit everything else. So I'm just doing full-time athlete acceleration of my business. And, you know, still running camps and coaching. You know, I coach track still because I love it. But I was all in on this. So I was the personal training manager of, like, the biggest personal training department in Boston at the time. Decided to leave that and all the other things we were doing, just, like, clients and that sort of thing. And just focus 100% on online work and still run camps and coach a little bit. So, you know, I figured we're just going to launch it in January and just like crush it. We sold 6 copies in January. So, you know, I was all in. I didn't really plan not to make money. So I didn't have a nest egg. I had nothing really like to help me kind of through. So I had to succeed. So it took me a while. Started to figure some things out to the point where, you know, next month, I think we sold like 8. And then it creeped up a little bit. You know, this is 8 copies. And we still have like cost production, all that fun stuff. And it took about 6 months. So in June in 2005, we had our first $20,000 month where we sold that many products. And then, you know, we started to figure things out and grew from there. So that's kind of like how we got into the online marketing space. And then I was at a conference that you actually ran, the Fast Track to Fitness Million. I spoke there just a little bit on just like how to get affiliates and that sort of thing. At the bar later, which is really where you connect and network with a lot of people. I was talking to a coach that I knew. He launched his product earlier. It didn't do well. And he had a new one coming out and said, you know, you want to partner on this, see how it does. And he just wanted to coach and didn't want to worry about the online aspect of it and marketing and business thing. So it was a little scary at the time because, you know, what I did worked for me. Now, kind of like my name is on the line because I don't want to fail this coach because, you know, I was friends with him. I wanted to do well. And it's just really, I didn't share the system with anyone. I didn't really show people what I was doing. So I didn't know if it was going to work for someone else's product. So we finally launched it. And in the first 24 hours, we did $100,000. So we did 100K in a day. And then we ended up doing, I think, 500K for the launch of it. It was like 2 weeks. Which was awesome. Like the money was great and everything, but it kind of solidified and made me realize that the system that I created works for other people. So now I can scale it. Now I can open it up to other things. So that's really like after that is where I got into kind of other things where I grew our own product line, help other people with launches, kind of grew from there. So it's kind of a long-winded origin story or how I got started in strength and conditioning and really, I guess, online marketing.
No, that's great. I think it's interesting. And I think that not only is it interesting to hear where people started, but it also is, I think, pretty powerful and pretty important for people to understand when they see somebody who's doing well now and accomplishing a lot of things that maybe they aspire to do now. Man, it always wasn't that way, right? Like everybody that I've spoken with, through the podcast and so many of the people that you and I both work with in one way or another, I mean, they've all had kind of a journey that's had lots of twists and turns along the way. So that was great to share. So get us up to speed now. Tell us what you're doing today.
That's always a funny one. I feel like just in the past 2 or 3 years, my business has changed pretty well for me drastically every 6 months. I'm just kind of changing what I do. So I think that's kind of one, like, don't be afraid to change and pivot and go a different direction. But a lot of what I do now and what my company does is we publish a lot of other coaches. So where we have coaches like, you know, Lee Taft, Will Fleming, Dave Gleason just came out with a product, Adam Fite, Bobby Smith, Coach Dost, and Chris Moore. Like, we have a lot of big product line and we're in other sports and other niches, I guess. But it all came from just coaches not wanting to have to learn the marketing side of things. So it's just finding great coaches that have great content and pretty much just plug them into the system. You know, once you learn how to market, you can market anything as long as you believe in the product and it's a good product that people like and you're adding value to the marketplace. So we're doing more of that. So bringing in other great coaches to create great content for us. And, you know, this year we launched our first certification. We did a speed and agility certification with Coach Taft, which did a lot better than I expected. And it really came from just how well Complete Speed Training has done over the years, kind of the branded name, to the point where people run like camps and clinics and use our name, use Athlete Acceleration, and even we're sent a lot of people using Complete Speed Training. They're taking our logos and everything and throwing it on their camp sign. A little bit illegal, and they shouldn't be doing it, but it just shows you that people want the information and are using us and trying to leverage that to show their area the kind of information that they know. So we took that as, you know, we have great content. We can go deeper than we did in Complete Speed Training. Give people, you know, even more content, show a lot more whys behind certain things and how to progress and regress, and then add a certification to it. So we know at the end of it, they're going through it. We know the information that they've learned, how to go through, how to pass the test, how to go through all the content. And then they can use that as their kind of branded information. It's beyond initials. People want to show other coaches or athletes in the area the kind of content they know, what they're good at, what they want to do, and, you know, what they're going to try to help those local athletes or whatever out with. So that kind of changed our business on how well that was received, because you never know when you come up with something like that how it's going to be. Just the amount of great feedback we got from it, where there's like professional organizations that are getting their whole staff certified, a lot of college strength conditioning programs that are getting their whole staff certified, a lot of gyms that are getting the whole staff certified, and performance facilities. It's taken off, it's gone great, but, you know, that's a big change that we haven't done in the past that has done real well.
So, I mean, just from the outside looking in, and I know that I've kind of been around a lot of that sort of evolution with you. I mean, what is the path that somebody follows when, you know, they got good information, right? They've got knowledge, they've got some sort of subject matter expertise. You know, I mean, you started by doing just that. I mean, you had that knowledge and you packaged it up. And now, I mean, you know, you're running an organization that's, I mean, basically a global authority on that topic. And, it, you know, you've gone from a product or a course all the way to a certification. You know, if somebody else has some subject matter expertise, I mean, what kind of direction or suggestion might you have for that person if they want to get it out to a broader audience?
It's a good question. It can go a lot of different directions too. So we'll see where this takes us. But like you said, first you have to be great at what you do, above and beyond anything else. You know, people are coming to us in the area. It might just be our local area, but we were great where people wanted more information. We were getting great results. So we kind of grew from there. And because the content was that good, and that's where we grew. So start there. You get to see how you're different in the marketplace. When we came out, granted it was in 2004, there were two other products already out there. So we just had, our system was different. So like, how are you going to be different than what else is out there in the market? then you just gotta just work. You have to like go after. It's always funny to me where, you know, when we talk to a lot of people, like I get pitched products. I think I had three this week of products that were, you know, were pitched to me. And also you and I have talked to a lot of people who wanted to start creating products. And it's funny to me that at first they're not sure what product they want to create. Like I never understand that, where if you're not great at what you do in a particular area, then how can you create a product? Like there's not different options. It might be subsets of like a main directive, a main niche or a main product idea. But if you're not sure of what product you want to create, you gotta really find out what you're great at. And if you're not great at something, that's fine. Get great at it and then create your product later. You're in no rush. And once you put a product out with your name attached to it, if it sucks, people are going to realize it sucks, and it's going to take you a little bit more time to overcome that. So, you know, be great at what you do. And I really think the rest is easy.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. I think that when I talk to entrepreneurs on this podcast, there's been this recurring theme that all of them, even though everybody's business is different with this kind of whole ideal business kind of theme that I adhere to, everybody's approach is different, but that is like the one unifying trait, right? Like everybody understands, or everybody that I know that has, you know, some significant degree of success understands that you better do great work if you want to have any sort of lasting success. So, you know, I'm glad you touched on that. Now, you know, I know you said the rest is easy, but I think that's probably where some people get into, you know, they get in their own way, right? Because they don't understand what options might be best for them. I mean, you talked about publishing some great coaches. Some people do it on their own. Some people, you know, almost kind of do a hybrid. I mean, a guy like Lee Taft or a guy like Will Fleming, I mean, they have some of their own stuff and then they do some stuff with you. So if somebody does have great expertise and has a great product idea, do you have any advice for them as far as like what the next step might be?
Yeah, it's really just figuring out the best way that you can attack it. So what are you also good at? Are you good at video? Are you good at like podcast audio like this? Are you a good writer? Can you show just exercise videos? Can you stay engaged? You know, pretty much choose your platform and go from there. Like, what are you great at first, like within a particular silo? And then you can grow up from there. The problem is that people, there's so many ways to market and get out there that people get bogged down by, you know, just doing a little bit of each. Like, I would start, what I was great at first, at least I think, was getting affiliates involved in launches. And so I guess product launches was good too, but just getting affiliates to promote products. Obviously, you have to have a good product. We create a good relationship with these people after. But, you know, after you get that done, you know, they'll promote your product later if it did well. But so I was great at that. And then I moved on to, you know, at the time it was Google AdWords. So I, you know, dialed that in. Then it was Facebook ads. So as things changed, or as I was good, and even if it's just good enough, like you're doing well on one, then you can grow up from there. You know, some people are great at social media and getting people engaged on Instagram and even like Facebook Live, like we're getting more videos and bringing people to a particular area. But just get great at one thing and then you can expand it. Let's not just kind of dabble a little bit here and there and hope for the best. And even if, you know, you're a great writer, you say, you know, how can I kind of monetize that? People are always searching for content. Like I know with my website, I contact coaches a lot just to see what content I get from other people, because I want to provide value to my customers, my list, the people that follow us. So it's easy to submit to other people and have them, you know, publish your content. It's easy to, you know, drive ads to content so people get to know who you are, like your information, you can trust your information, that's going to be good, where they'll come back. So you can always figure out what you're best at. I know people that crush it in YouTube and they just stay there. They don't have to go anywhere else because they're doing so well there. You know, maybe eventually they'll move a little bit and, you know, use different things to make money, bringing people, bringing leads and customers. But you really just have to get good at one thing and go hard. Let's not try to spread yourself too thin and see what the next latest and greatest thing is. That, you know, Gary Vee is talking about Snapchat, so everyone get on Snapchat a little bit. Now what's the next thing? Is Snapchat dying because of Facebook Live and Instagram ads, video? So let's not worry about that. Let's just get good at one thing and go from there.
Again, great insight. So playing off that theme, you know, I know you talked about in the beginning, you did everything, right? Like, you're the guy who was writing the copy, burning the, you know, the DVDs, the, you know, filming, editing, you name it. I mean, how do you recommend somebody approach the, you know, the operation of their business, or, you know, not letting that sort of thing, the daunting task of, you know, trying to be great at anything, be an obstacle they can't get past?
Another good question. And things, you know, something like that I forget about, like just actually going through each piece. But, you know, first is how much money do you have to deal with it? You can hire people easily to get everything you need done. But where I started, we did a progression. So we were burning our own DVDs, and it was 5 DVDs for each set. So it took a while, like, just to burn copies. And then we got to the point where we bought a 5 DVD burner, so now we could do it a little bit faster. And then we were bringing it to UPS, so every time we had sales, we were going to UPS. Then we made a deal with UPS where they would burn it. We just email them the orders, they would burn it, they give us a better price because we were doing, you know, more volume. So they were burning it and then sending them out. Then we got to the point where we couldn't do that anymore. Then, you know, we found, you know, like we use Vervante now, use them for so long over the years, but we found a warehouse that would do that for us. So now the emails, the order emails go right to them and they ship it out. So we kind of progress from there. And for website stuff, I use a thing called Google to learn how to, like, create a website. If that is the part that slows you down, you're not that serious. If you're not willing to, like, go after it and figure things out, I don't think you're serious or deserve to be that successful. If you have more money, then you can hire someone to create your website and put certain things up. But again, another thing we talk a lot to entrepreneurs, coaches, and people that want to create products, when they're supposed to get particular things done and they just don't do it because things come up. Like, things come up in everyone's life, and I get that, some more serious than others. But if that's your excuse, sleep a couple hours less and get more work done. Like, film before your gym opens. Work on your website, you know, after your kids go to bed or after your last client. There's really no excuse. It just, I know people get worried, get nervous about putting their product out there. So that's something separate, you know, a little fear. You know, once your name's out there, you have to get a little thick skin. Some people aren't going to like it. Some people are going to love it. You know, how do you deal with all that? So I get that part of it. So, you know, that kind of little pressure, a little fear of not getting it done there. There's really no reason not to be able to get your product done. It took us longer because we didn't know what we were doing. So it took us a few months to get it done because we had zero clue on how to do anything. It was in 04 too. So, you know, I knew how to use email at the time. That's about it. So just figuring that out took us a little bit longer, but we still had it up. We still wasn't successful right away. Sold 6. I don't even know how people found those 6. Like, those 6 people, I really don't know how they actually found the product and ordered it. Like, I'm still surprised. I'm sure a couple of them were, like, friends and family, but, I mean, we didn't stop there. We just kept going, learning how to get better. I mean, a lot of us have athletic backgrounds where, you know, we were an athlete and we're competitive. So, you know, there's really no failure. It's not like, oh, I failed at this. It's, all right, I'm going to get this done. I'm going to figure out how to do this. So I'm not even sure if I answered your question, but
close enough. No, I like it. So, you know, I've got a couple more things I want to touch on. The first is, I mean, you've referred to having a business partner. Don't start laughing either. And, you know, I know that, you know, having some of my own experiences with that and people playing different roles in businesses, and now you don't have a partner in Athletes Acceleration. When somebody is thinking about, oh, wait a minute, I see a guy like Eric Cressy, and he's got Pete that he works with, and, you know, different guys have, you know, a partnership relation, or I mean, a partner relationship. I mean, do you have any insights on that? Anything that you can share that you think would be helpful, having kind of been through that sort of thing on your own?
Yeah, don't do it. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I mean, so I've had partners in different things too. Like a couple of companies that I sold shares, I got out of. So at first, like if you're in that kind of relationship, or don't be afraid to pivot. Like a lot of times where you get a partner, you start off like everything's great because you have the same vision. And as you grow and as things get harder or better or both, things are going to change. So you got to make sure that everyone's on the same page and you have that same vision. And if you don't be afraid to get out like we did in a couple of companies. You have to be real careful getting into a partnership. You got to figure out what each person can provide as far as value, and maybe not necessarily the importance of that value, but like where can you divide kind of the workload? A lot of coaches get in, say, trying to open a facility. They get involved with, say, someone that they think they can handle the business side of things, which is great. It's worked out great for like Mike Boyle and Cressy, but it's also worked horrible for other people. There's other times where two people come in as coaches and they just want to train all the time. And then the business side is failing and no one wants to take that over. As long as you can figure out kind of the division of labor, and in a partnership, there's two people, you kind of need the winning vote, the plus one. So if you guys can't agree on it, on something going into it, like who has that vote that's going to like carry and make sure that you're heading that direction. And you can have that plus one vote. It could be one person in some of the business operation side. It could be another person in, say, like the training program design side. So it can be different. You should be careful. And, you know, I know like you got a partnership. Like we all start when we're starting our business, have one vision of what we want to get accomplished, what we want to do. And we all evolve. We all grow. The vision can either change or it can stay the same. And the other person's vision wants to like veer off and do something else. So, I mean, it happens. If you can do it without a partner, great. Because then you have one person to rely on, one person to blame, and one person to get things done. It's going to be you. So, I mean, if you can just be accountable to yourself, that's great. If you can, sometimes people either need a business partner or want one. Or even if it's they're doing it with, you know, their husband or wife, you know, going to business together, just be real clear up front on what everyone is doing. And make sure as you go through that you have that same vision. If not, that's fine. Like you can always pivot and make changes. But I think as much as you can get done up front, when you're signing papers, signing contracts, you know, just put it in writing. Just, you know, be clear. Just, you know, it's best for everyone involved if everyone kind of knows where it's at the beginning.
I think that was great. I think also a lot of times people get into partnerships because they're fearful that they can't do something by themselves. And so there's a little bit of a security blanket, when I think that both of us have kind of found that, man, I mean, there are other ways to get support and help, and be it getting tasks completed or getting valuable insight. You know, there are plenty of other ways to accomplish that than by providing equity in a business. So I agree. And I think that you covered, you know, a really kind of broad and detailed perspective on that, that I know you and I have had many, many conversations about. So I appreciate that. All right. So before we kind of bring this to a close, if somebody wants to take their expertise online, and I know we've gone through this in a few different ways already on this call, but if somebody wants to do that, give me your kind of top three first steps, or, you know, the first three steps they should start with.
Top three, huh? Pretty much go all down this. It's a difficult question. First, you know, obviously find out what you're great at and see how your product or skill set is different than what's out there. Either you can add on to something else, or just be the product is different than what else is on the market. Like, how is it? Why would people buy that over something else that's already out there, and not just because your name's attached to it? So that's one thing. The best thing to do really is just a network. I know I met pretty much most of my affiliates, all my friends, like just at events. Going to live events changed really my business. And it wasn't looking for people that, you know, who can do something for me. It was just hanging out with them, finding out, you know, what they like, just their skill set. It's just fun to talk shop with other coaches that are like-minded. And those people that are at events are looking to get better. So that's the people you want to hang out with anyway. So just networking is huge. Like now we're at the point, I say we as in you and I guess, where, you know, if you need affiliate help or you have a question or a problem, you know who to go to. Like, you know that person that can help and they're going to be willing to help. And then other people come to you for help on other things. And it's just, it's easy to, for me, like if I want to put out a product, I know who to go to. I know what affiliates can help with that and it will add value to what they're doing. So I think the more you can network and get out there, and at the beginning, I didn't know anyone besides local coaches. So it's just going to conferences, talking to people, like even just being cool, responding to, you know, questions, comments, talking to other coaches online, which is a lot easier now. Just getting out there, trying to network and not network with a purpose of what people can do for you. Just like anything else, just be cool. Just see what guys are doing well, ask questions, and just be willing to put yourself out there, even though it's difficult sometimes at events. But I mean, again, I met a lot of great friends at Ryan Lee boot camps, you know, just kind of where it all started for a lot of people. It was the only events at the time. But so networking, I guess, is huge. And I think people undervalue, because even within your network, you can learn other skill sets and other things. So be great at what you do, network well, and take action. If you guys know Frank Kern at all, like I was in his only mastermind group that he ran years back. It was an interesting group of people and a lot of crazy times, but we all, like, it just came down to, like, don't f*** around. And it's not like, don't, like, be crazy in the group, because, you know, we worked hard in sessions and after sessions. We played pretty hard, but it's like, don't f*** around. Like, you know what you need to do. Everyone knows what they need to do. Just do it. Like, no one's really taking action. I think it's easier if you start setting goals, because really, like, when it comes down to it, you have no one else to blame. It's all on you. You're the only person, you know, you're looking at the mirror at yourself. Did you get the work done today or not? Like, you can make excuses all you want, but I mean, you're not even fooling yourself. And I think that's where people just stop. Like, maybe they don't want to do it. Maybe they don't want to, like, really learn the marketing side of things online. And that's cool. Then you find someone else to do it. But just be great at what you do or what you're passionate about. And then you can find other people to kind of to work with. But just take action on something. If they do that, I think you're in good shape. Like, everything can be learned on YouTube. You can find out everything you need to know about marketing online if you wanted to. But it's just, all right, now what you're going to actually do today that's going to help grow your business. Again, I probably didn't answer your question, but
that was great. Yeah. For acting like getting 3 steps out of you is going to be challenging. That was a home run. Nice work. So if somebody wants to find out more about you and what you do and what you have going on with Athletes Acceleration, where can we direct them?
You can go to athletesacceleration.com. You can email me personally at patrick@athletesacceleration.com. I'm pretty easy to get to. Yeah, that's kind of my main hub for everything I do, and the email that I check or my assistant checks daily that can get back to me.
All right. Very cool. Well, we'll have that in the show notes as well for those of you guys listening in. And Mr. Beeth, as always, it's been a pleasure. I feel like we talk quite a bit. We just don't necessarily always record it. So I appreciate you taking the time to do this today with me. And guys, again, thanks for listening in to another episode of the Ideal Business Show.
Thanks for listening. We've got a special gift for our listeners. We're giving away 52 cut and paste newsletters that you could start using for your fitness business today. To get your special gift, head on over to patrigsby.com/gift.